Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
George Clooney's embarrassing confession. You've got to hear about his drunken disaster. Plus, the new Britney documentary, Why Vanessa and Zach Almost Didn't Happen, and what's next for Lori Loughlin? Her daughter is speaking out. Welcome to Daily Pop. It is Friday!
Woo!
And we are excited. Morgan is about to have a baby, so she has started her maternity leave. So today we are joined by Raven Simone. Welcome back.
I'm back.
I love this jacket.
Thank you. A little handmade joint just for y'all. Thank you, Miss Nancy.
Girl came to play on a Friday. Okay, we have to talk about George Clooney and his crazy drunken confession. It all went down on Variety's Actors on Actors series. Clooney did an interview with his One Fine Day co-star Michelle Pfeiffer, and they reminisced about a time George showed up to set drunk.
I woke up and I, like the alarm at like 5:30 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and I was like, I feel okay. And then I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, I'm still drunk. And I got to this set and we walked into the trailer and I sat down and you looked at me and you go, what? And I was like, I didn't know we were going to work today. And you go, you're still drunk. And it's a scene where we did in a one-er where you and I are talking back and forth to each other. And I kept trying to, you know, spray like whatever mouth spray I could because I smelled like a distillery.
That sucks. That has happened. You know, that happens to us because we get like last minute shoots. Not so much now during the pandemic, but back whenever life was normal and it was like, oh, Justin can't make it. Can you go to this red carpet? And you're like, I'm in a happy hour for 2 hours. But sure, I'll try to swing by at 7 o'clock and wing it. Sometimes those are your best interviews, though.
100%.
You're just a little bit lit. That's why we drink on Friday. Sometimes those are our best shows. George also talked about breaking his eye socket playing basketball with the crew and having to film with one of the kids like blocking part of his face for certain scenes. Sure, they can laugh about it now, but would you be frustrated in the moment? Have you ever actually worked with anybody who, this is a little different because he didn't know he was going to have to work, but you know, that just has a little bit of a drinking issue where they just show up drunk a lot?
Yeah, myself. I have worked with myself a lot. And it is hard and difficult, and I often have to talk to my supervisors about myself.
You actually sometimes have your best shows hungover, though.
Oh, no. If I'm hungover,
that's different.
Those are my best shows. If I come in lit,
a little different.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny because to watch him sit back and laugh about all of this, it's so funny how people's like presence kind of sort of shape what we think of them in the past. Mm-hmm. Because I bet you if George Clooney ended up being like a Johnny Depp who was kind of a mess right now, who lost all of his money, I bet you Michelle Pfeiffer would not be laughing about this today.
Oh, not at all. I don't even think she laughed about it when it happened on set. I know if I was her, I'd be like, why don't you go put your scrubs back on and get back on TV? This is a job.
This is a job.
Listen, like, I've worked with some drunk people over the years, and it's, you know, it's frustrating. It's happened, but at the same time, I've never had to be the boss that's had to have that conversation. I've always been grateful for that because I've always been like, all right, well, that's on you. But luckily, I've worked on a job, most jobs, it's kind of like, well, you're going to show that you're drunk, and
It's not gonna affect
mine. It's not gonna affect mine. I mean, it's like I'll still do my job, and you just do the best you can, and we'll figure that out.
It's harder when you're the boss. I'll let the boss do that. It's harder when you're the boss because you actually have to sit that person down and talk to the drunk self, but then you're really trying to talk to the sober person.
Right.
And you're like,
I guess we'll have that conversation tomorrow.
Exactly. And then you're like,
so were you drunk yesterday?
No.
Not at all.
No. Yeah, we have video. Okay. Can't say anything now, honey.
Okay. Well, it was an off day. You know, it happens.
It's so funny what people in Hollywood can get away with. Like, only in Hollywood can you show up to work drunk, lit, with a bruised eye, even when you're supposed to be looking a million bucks, and still have a career to talk about it today.
That's where all of them go. All of the people with the raps, they got raps, they got drunkens, they got all kinds of words that I'm not about to say on screen right now, but it's accepted in Hollywood, and it's so weird to me.
Yeah, that is so weird, but it's also so cute. This whole interview is really cute. I was talking to Raven before the show. It's interesting. You think they might know each other. I love the movie One Fine Day, by the way. They really don't know each other very well. They literally said the last time they saw each other face-to-face was the premiere of this movie.
Wow.
And this movie was out in the 90s. I can't remember exactly what year, but it's been a long time ago. And even on the film, they hardly had that many scenes together, actually. So they didn't work that many days together. So it's really still a very cute interview for the fact that they don't know each other as well as you might think that they do.
Those stories kind of make you feel sad. You're like, I wish you guys had the same chemistry.
I know. I thought you guys were like besties because your chemistry was, that just shows they're really good actors. Okay, Britney Spears is being put under the microscope in a new documentary, Framing Britney, covers Britney's highs and lows, including back in 2006 when her mental health issues became played out in public eye. Now, this was such a dramatic time for her and her family. Here's a first look.
This is a girl that's coming from strength.
People became fascinated with her sort of unraveling.
How we treated her was disgusting.
She accepted the conservatorship was going to happen, but she didn't want her father to be conservative.
Anytime there's that amount of money to be made, you have to question the motives of everyone.
Why is her dad making all of her decisions? Why is she still in this?
Ooh, the New York Times presents Framing Britney. It drops February 5th on FX. What do you guys think? How vicious was the media during her downfall?
It was absolutely ridiculous. And I think that there needs to be some kind of law put in place based on her life, based on Jackson's life, even based on Tiger Woods, because I also saw that documentary. You know, I've been a Britney fan since the beginning. I never had her success and that massive amounts of screaming, but I do understand what it's like to have your family with you in charge of work and you know, I guess, co-managing your career. It can be difficult if there's not that separation of manager, parent.
Yeah.
And then when you have money involved, I don't care who you are, I don't care how rich you are, when your child is making more money than the parent and the parent is all over the child because of it, it's a different kind of relationship that turns into Britney Spears. The dynamic.
And then added mental health issues.
And then no one cares about the mental health issue, mostly because you're famous, you're a celebrity, you're singing.
What could be going wrong?
What could be going wrong? But that's a human first. First of all, that's a human that has to work and all of her days are rehearsal. There's no private time. There's no public school. Like, that is a caged animal. Hashtag free Britney.
Free Britney.
Oh my God.
You know, and I think what also kind of fueled the fire was she came from this Disney, you know, it's a small world, after all, clean, bubblegum poppy moment. And it was the first time we had ever seen a Disney princess. Well, the second, because Christina Aguilera went dirty and we were like, oh my God.
Oh, dirty.
The downfall of a Britney, you know, Disney princess. So I think what it was that fascination of watching someone fall off of Mount Olympus, to see a god fall to the ground. Because I'm going to just say this, there has never, ever been an anomaly like Britney Spears.
No.
That woman's career, her presence, her reach was international stardom. So when you saw her on that stretcher looking like she didn't know where she was, it was like, okay, start the downfall, everybody go, and everybody bought a fart to get a piece of this woman at that moment.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I mean, I do feel like it was the first awakening of maybe we should focus on mental health a little bit more, because I do feel like mental health was completely swept under the rug, especially in coverage of media, especially in sensitivity from the media. I think after we saw what happened to Britney, things did not go great by any means, and not all media listened, and things, people were still obsessed. People are still obsessed with her, but I do think that in a small way, there was some, wow, we need to like really kind of think a little bit more about the mental health. And again, we still have a long ways to go, but we have so many stars talking about the importance of it right now. Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato. I mean, so many. The list goes on and on and on about like mental health. Justin Bieber, mental health matters, whether you're famous, whether you're not. And you have to be sensitive to what's happening in people's personal lives and not just look at them as this entertainment source.
But I still think that they haven't given Britney that break. I think when it comes to the media, she was not grandfathered into, all right, celebrities are dealing with mental health issues.
No,
let's
I think
leave.
She was the start of like even thinking about it and bringing attention
yeah, but,
to
but
it.
But why don't we give her that moment? We're still talking about the breakdowns. We're still talking about the head shaving. We're not giving her the white glove treatment that we gave Justin Bieber. We're not giving her the white glove treatment that we've given Demi Lovato. Like we've given.
I think the reason is because she lives on Instagram now, and it's not that comeback that all of these other people have said they've done, right? Justin went through his mental moment, and now he's back with another album, and Demi Lovato back with another album. Britney Spears isn't even allowed to talk because of these paperwork.
Right.
She's not, I mean, I don't know if I'm spreading rumors, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's like.
You could say allegedly in front of it.
Allegedly, okay, cool, thank you for teaching me.
Allegedly,
she can't even post for herself. So it's like, you know, does she have the time to recuperate, and is she getting that time back? And if she does, is she going to go black hair and get back on a pole like she did for that one
and
album?
I loved it.
I loved the whole thing.
The blackout was so good.
I mean, I loved it.
I'm a little surprised about this docuseries, especially because it's such a huge documented time that it just feels like an easy moneymaker. Like, I really don't know what they're going to reveal that we don't already know. And so it does feel like a let's take advantage of Britney one more time situation.
But, I mean, look, if you step out into the spotlight, you already know that people are going to profit off of your image.
For the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life. You know that going in. And there's no statute of limitation. I don't care if you're going through it right now. Like, the women who went through the R. Kelly situation, they had to relive that for 6 episodes on Lifetime, then another movie, and then this other thing. So I feel like if you're Britney Spears, there is probably a little bit of I mean, not say you're happy, you're almost relieved that somebody else is going to talk about what you're going through so that you can get a little bit more freedom in your life, because it seems like this documentary is pro-Britney. This documentary is pro-getting Britney a little bit more freedom and letting the girl live her life. That's what I think Britney Spears wants. So she is probably like, finally, a reputable source is going to give me a chance to say my part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
Yeah. But that Tiger was good.
Tiger was so good.
Yeah. Tiger was good.
All right. Still ahead, you guys, Priyanka and Nick's marriage secrets. What Priyanka is telling us about plans for baby. Plus, The Bachelor's Colton Underwood is revealing dramatic details about his split from Cassie Randolph. And can you guess the celebrity that's rocking this baby Yoda onesie? We'll tell you the answer when we come back.
Dead black.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. Now, before the break, we showed you this photo of a mystery celebrity running around town in a baby Yoda onesie. Any guesses?
Ashley Benson?
Oh, Katy Perry's a good guess.
Is that Ashley Benson?
Maybe. Oh, I don't.
Is that a Jenner?
Oh, Ariel Winter. She looks great.
I didn't realize her hair is so blonde right now.
I knew her sister.
Wow. Okay. Moving on, let's talk about relationships. It's pop of love time. Okay, former Bachelor Colton Underwood is opening up about his breakup with Cassie Randolph. Us Weekly got their hands on a new chapter of his book where Colton says their relationship went downhill after he was quarantined at Cassie's parents' house for coronavirus. She told him she was struggling with their relationship, but he did not realize just quite how bad things had gotten because they always avoided hard conversations. Now, ultimately, she left him, telling him it was not working. Now, this all sounds like pretty innocent breakup, but it's kind of strange because things were not that innocent. I mean, they had, like, restraining orders against each other.
Who said that?
It's kind of dramatic.
But who said that?
Who said what?
who said that? By the way, I like Colton. I think he's a cute guy. I think he's very sweet. He's always been very nice when he came to the show. And I am down for rewriting history. But sis, you got to give us at least 7 years for us to forget about the tracking devices,
yeah, yeah.
The alleged pop-ins at her mom's house.
I've had to get a restraining order in my day. They're not that easy. I mean, you have to, like, show that these people are really, really going after you and, like, really, I mean, yeah, there's got to be some mess there to get one.
For sure, for sure. Mm. I'm not down with the rewrite. And by the way, we had forgotten about the tracking devices and the restraining
orders. And that's what he hoped for.
But you don't need to give us this extra chapter so we can be reminded of it.
He looking like he's single and he wants somebody to read it. And he's like, this is my side. He's in his feelings. Leave him be.
Listen, I mean, have you guys ever been, by the way, the restraining orders were dropped just eventually, just so you know. But have you guys ever been in a relationship where you and the partner are just seem to be on completely different pages? Because that's what it seemed to sound like. I read part of the chapter and it just seems like he thought, we're working on this, we're just needed more solo time together, and she was kind of like, no, I'm checked out, like I'm done with this.
Yeah, every male relationship I was in.
I've always been in that situation.
You're probably not even a lesbian. You probably just dated so many trash ass men that you're like, I'm out. Okay.
No, because the first girl I dated, I was like, this is the best man I've ever had.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I love that. Yeah.
I do want to point out though, look, for what it's worth, I think the pandemic has caused people to do some pretty crazy things and act in a not normal way. And I think being sequestered with COVID at your in-laws' house when you just kind of met somebody is a hard thing to do. So living with my mother-in-law in Orange County might drive me a little crazy.
I don't know. Is it that they're not acting normal, or is this the person they actually are and the cameras aren't around for them to put on the facade and you actually have to bring back the layers? Because for me, COVID was, who are you really? Mm. What can you really deal with? Not having to go to work, not having to do this and getting pulled from all different kinds of directions. He was in the midst of that family.
Well, Raven, come on.
I mean.
Look, come on, I'm gonna ask you a question.
Ask it.
We all have a little crazy in us.
Avi.
We all bury that crazy.
I mean,
and when somebody knocks on crazy's door, we open up the crazy. So I just think someone knocked on that door. She was ready. Hey, came out, and you can't let her back in.
You can't.
Once you let the bitch out, she ain't trying to go back in.
She out.
Come on.
You're right.
Okay. All right.
Carol is here.
Here is another story for you. Okay, where is the line when it comes to oversharing with your partner? Because a guy on Reddit thinks his girlfriend crossed it. She will not stop talking about the guy she slept with during her hoe phase, and it's making him uncomfortable. Yeah, I'd say.
First rule of hoe phase, don't talk about hoe phase.
Why not?
And guess what? You know why? Because if we're in a relationship and you're telling me about your hoe phase, you're going to expect that I'm going to tell you about the summer fall of 2019, and that ain't happening.
You just told me all I needed to know.
I'm just letting you know. You are not getting that info.
Listen, do you want to know your girl's hoe phase?
I need to know all the phases.
No, you do not.
Yes, I do. Let me tell you why. Then I know exactly what I'm doing when I go out in public. I know you. I know you too. I feel like.
Well, listen, I think knowing names is good, but like going into details about like that relationship, not the best.
You should be respectful.
Relationships are fine. I will tell you about all of my relationships, but I am not talking about my whole face until I look like the woman in Titanic. Okay? I'm going to be an old as it talking about it was 60 years ago. Yeah. And this dude, like, that's what I'm telling you about
it's
my
so
whole
funny.
Face.
It's so funny. Shannon and I, we've been together so long, I still don't know, like, any of, I've never really met any of his exes. There was one time that we walked into a store, and this was when we were just dating, and this girl that was working at the store walked up and was just like, oh, hey, and then she's like, oh, Shannon, hi. And literally, we had just started dating, and it was just how she talked to me, how she talked to him.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm not trying to do.
We walked right out of that store, and I was like, you slept with her, didn't you? And he's like, how the hell did you know that? I'm like, oh, it's a vibe, girl. Like not girl, boy. It's a vibe. You figure it out. Like, you just, I feel like whether they explain it to you, I didn't need him to tell me. I mean, you just pick up on those things.
I feel like your whole phase defines who you are as a human. And I need to know how you got there.
No, I just didn't know you were out of it.
And that you're out of it.
Exactly.
All right.
All the fans for a reason.
Bridgerton is returning for another season, but with a twist. We're going to explain. Then we have to talk about Bling Empire, why this needs to be your next obsession. Stick around.
I'm obsessed, Patrick.
So good.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey. A free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS or play online via Facebook games.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. It is time for the Hollywood Minute, 60 seconds, hot Hollywood headlines. Let's get to it. Lady Whistledown fans, listen up. Good news. Bridgerton just got renewed. The new Netflix hit is reportedly set to start filming this spring in the UK, and season 2 will focus on finding a suitable marriage for the oldest Bridgerton sibling, Anthony. I am so excited. I love that show. Chrissy Teigen had a major late night snack fail after spending the day in DC. She took to Twitter to share how her day kind of took a turn for the worst.
I just lost my tooth in a fruit roll-up.
Oh my gosh, that sucks. Apparently it was just a cap, but she says she loved him like he was a real tooth. And a casting director for High School Musical is spilling the tea. It seems Vanessa Hudgens was super nervous to audition with Zac Efron. Natalie Hart told Variety Vanessa was so smitten and had a meltdown. She told her, he's too cute. I can't read with him. I totally understand that. And that is your Hollywood Minute. All right. Imagine the movie Crazy Rich Asians, but in real life, here in LA, that's basically Bling Empire, the wild new Netflix reality show streaming now. It follows an heiress, a fashionista, and a superstar DJ, and they're all worth billions.
If you cross her line, she's gonna cut you, bitch.
It's the lifestyles of the uber-rich Beverly Hills Asians.
Thank you, Jesus!
Kane's family comes from oil, shipping, tanking, real estate. He owns the shopping malls that you go into in Singapore, Thailand.
The stars of Bling Empire break the bank. Anna Shay's worth $600 million. Her mouth, priceless.
There ain't no that good.
With all that cash to burn comes incredible jewelry and fashion. Breakout star Christine Chu cannot wait to show it off.
I have that same.
You have the same one?
Yeah.
So you'll let me know if you wear yours ever, and I'll let you know if I wear mine.
No argument is too big to share on speakerphone.
Okay, bye.
And as much as they mess with each other,
does she have a penis pump?
The love runs deep.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I know. Have you watched? So I've only watched 4 episodes in.
I binged it. I'm finished. It's back.
Yes.
It's back.
It's good. If I could have stayed up later, I would have watched it all, but I couldn't. It's so good.
It's so good. And the reason I love it the most is because, unlike other reality shows with this kind of money and this kind of tension, I don't feel like their fights are frivolous. I don't feel like they're just catty for no reason. They're dealing with real issues. You know, I love that the guys, I can't even tell it, but anyway, they take this road trip.
Yes.
And they do something for someone that's heartfelt. And I love the whole thing. And I'm Anna Shay. I'm you, girl. Come here. I like Dior too.
Right. I'm Christine Chu.
Okay.
I'm Christine Chu.
Okay.
Everyone hates Christine Chu,
yes.
And I understand why, but I'm into an ambitious woman.
Yeah.
I know people call them thirsty, or they're hungry, or they're social climbers. No, I think Christine is ambitious. I think Christine was made for reality TV. Mm-hmm. I think she's always wanted to be on reality TV, and I'm happy she's on our screens because she's kind of the crazy one in the bunch.
Oh, she 100% is. And she also, like, she is that driving force. Like, you need her in the show 100%. And then you also need, is it Anna?
Or Anna.
Anna, yeah. And I love Anna, too. I love, like, those two queens are just the best. And then I'm so excited to see, like, I don't know, there's just, like, the entanglements. I mean, some of it felt orchestrated prior to filming, like, the whole, like, you know, but you gotta have a storyline going in, because why take a risk on these people if you don't have stuff coming into it?
And for Kristen's love life, for sure. Like, I think that's her name,
Kelly.
Kristen. Kelly?
Girl.
Kelly's love life. And Andrea gave me Skarsgård, little big secret lies kind of feeling.
No, you know what
little
it gave
lies.
Me?
Little, yeah.
No,
yeah.
You know what it gave me? What was that movie with Reese Witherspoon and Mark Wahlberg where he got
Kate
obsessed
Fear.
With her?
Not Kate Fear. Fear.
Fear.
Oh, yes.
Fear. It gave me fear. But I feel bad because, look, I understand that people have bad days on reality TV, and sometimes reality shows will highlight exactly what they want. So I don't know if Andrew is as dark as we think he is.
He looks dark to me.
He looks great.
He looks dark.
I think he's gray.
Honey.
I think he's gray.
Well, long story short, it's on Netflix, and if you haven't watched it, you should, because it's really good. Okay, up next, so Rachel good. Brosnahan says she doesn't know how to send emails. What? Do you believe her? Can we relate or not? We'll dive into that next.
Rachel, Evan.
When it comes to computers, the struggle is real for Rachel Brosnahan. You have to hear what she admitted last night on Conan.
I don't know how to send, I can't remember how to say this, I don't know how to send emails from a computer. I only know how
no,
to
wait
send
a minute. That's
phone.
Just, wait a minute. No, that's, yes.
Like I
yes,
do
you
it.
Can. Yes, you can. You can send.
I can do it, but the way that it's displayed and the chains, and I can't figure out how to respond to the right email in the chain. And I just, it's bad. It's really bad.
I'm sorry. You are worse than I thought.
I mean, I have 13,000 unread emails, so it's reaching a dire breaking point over here.
You must work at E! Entertainment.
Oh, yeah, right.
You honestly must work at E! Entertainment. I love my job and I love this company, but it's so funny the things that they think you need to know.
Raven and Simone farted.
Yes.
Not that you actually did.
You knew
that's the
yes,
kind of email.
That's the kind of email.
I thought it was quiet over here. I didn't know you heard me.
No,
but
no,
we
they
get
about that.
Emails about
everything.
I have like 2,500 unread emails
no,
at all times.
No, how can you have that many? It's so bad for your memory, for
it's
your
so
phone.
It's so bad for my mental
it's
health
so bad
to
for your
read
mental
every
health.
Single one of these emails
well, that's
about what is
you
happening.
Don't even understand. Let's say there was an email about your fart. But there will be email about, hey, we have rumblings that Raven Simone might fart. And then the next email will be like, hey, we're going to write this story about Raven Simone. Okay, we got confirmation from two sources that Raven Simone might fart. Okay, we're going with legal to see if we can talk about Raven Simone going to fart. And then it's like, okay, well, next time
legal?
You talk about it, like, it's
dang.
Like all of our fart. It's really crazy. And I just cannot handle it. And by the way, when you try to fight.
Because this is so 100% accurate, you guys.
And when you try
he's
to,
not exaggerating.
No. And when you try to fight to get off the emails that you know you won't need to know, like Raven Simone farted, it's like, then you have to send 7 emails about getting off the emails only for your boss to say, what they really like for you guys to get the 13,000 emails.
Because the one time you do not get that one email, you're going to ask that one question. And they're going to be like,
well, didn't you see the email?
No, exactly.
Oh, yes, I've gotten that many times from Ms. Jen Lavin.
For my last email.
Didn't you see the email?
Exactly. But can we get back to the fact that there's 25,000 unread emails, please?
Yeah.
And you, how many do you have unread?
Okay, so I have 2,500 in my work email. And my personal email, I have 1,300 on my personal email.
So here's my situation. I can't do it. There is There's a mythology to it, right? So it's not good to have that many unread emails for your mental health. Just, it's clutter. It's like hoarding, kind of, right? So maybe every Wednesday when you go get a wax, instead of clenching your eyes, maybe you delete 10 emails.
That,
you know what I mean? Just like, 10! You know what I mean? Like,
when
get it done.
This far behind, Raven.
But when we you're work
this
at E.
Far behind,
we work at E. You if you pull one, 10 more come.
You just give up. Because exactly every morning I delete. So what I have done creates my sanity, and I've talked to Justin about this many times, you create subfolders. And so a lot of emails that are about, you know, celebrities farting, go to a subfolder. And then other emails about other things go to a subfolder. So then at this point, I have so many subfolders that my inbox is usually just important emails from like Justin or like my producers.
Good luck, you guys.
If they need me, they'll text me. That's my thing. Like, if it's really important, they will literally be like,
they know I remember.
Have you seen the email about what you cannot say about Armie Hammer on air? And I'm like, I will look now. Let me get my compass out because I'm going to need to navigate through these 13,000 emails.
I know. And I also, and it, maybe it is a hoarding thing, but even on my personal email, I love having old emails because I forget stuff. So I love to be able to search it out and be like, oh, there it is.
Wow.
So I don't like to delete things because
she's a screenshotter.
I want to remember.
She's a reminder, a screenshot, a reminder.
I be can't like, by do the it. Way, yes, on April 16th, Justin, you said.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, if you call her out about something she did yesterday, she'll be like, I don't remember that. And I'll be like, oh, okay.
Go through your email.
Convenient.
Check your
was
email.
Was it on email? Was it on video? If you don't have proof, it did not happen.
Okay. Hilarious.
Up next, you guys. Bachelorette couple Claire and Dale's cheating accusations. What is the top reason why people cheat? We want to know. Relationship expert Diane Valentine is here. She's going to answer that and more. Stay with us.
Oh, she had a good ring.
That was Claire a nice a ring, ring, right? I was looking at that, too.
And you know you have to stay for 2 years.
Welcome back to Daily Pop. Here with us now live is relationship expert Diane Valentine. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning,
party people. Good morning. So good to see you. Okay, let's get right to it. Yesterday, we broke news about Bachelorette stars Claire and Dale's breakup. Multiple sources familiar with the situation believe that Dale has been cheating on Claire throughout their engagement. Now, a source close to Dale does tell E that this he did nothing but stay faithful. So either way, it got us thinking, what is the number one reason people cheat?
This is such a great question, and it's one that I'm asked all the time. And I really think that people are looking for some, you know, really intense, deep answer. And the reality is that people cheat because they start falling out of love. When you love somebody, you're not willing to risk life without them. Now, when you stop loving them, then you start thinking, the grass might be greener on the other side. I think it's a really simple answer. He was tired of her.
Ooh, I feel like a lot of times men cheat and get caught because they need an excuse to get out. Rather than just sitting down and confronting the problem, they think the easy way out is to get busted. Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong. I think that is a commonality. And I think it is because, one, men are a bit cowardice, ooh, right? They tend to not fight confrontation in that way. And so it's easier to than to text. It's easier to just go ghost. It's easier to just find somebody else because you don't want to deal with the reality of your own emotions.
True.
Ooh, that was it for Diane since she's talking crap about men and I'm sitting right here. We're going to go to a commercial break.
She got truth. She got truth, though.
She does. She does. Okay, I have a question. What if you think your partner is cheating, but they deny it? Do you just, like, go with your gut or, like, what do you do? Because
it's a good one.
Is if you have an intuition or you suspect something is wrong, there is always some truth in everything. So your gut is probably right. But here's the thing, you cannot be a sergeant of arms in a relationship. You have to give people permission to be who they are. And if they want to be with someone else, there's nothing that you can do about it.
So when my ex-boyfriend, I thought that he was cheating on me and I rolled up to the girl's house, that was wrong. Because I rolled up.
It was on your way.
No, it wasn't.
It was, you know.
I rolled up.
I
drove to Las Vegas in 2 hours for that one, honey.
That was Hyperloop.
I think that's awesome.
If you gotta do a drive-by in a relationship, it's probably not the relationship you want to be in.
I thought those were healthy.
You're just crazy and you do drive-by. anyways, go on to your question, Justin.
That's what you get. Let me ask you this question, Daya, because I feel like a lot of times women get into, and I'm gonna say women because my girlfriends do this, they get into relationships that they know aren't good for them. And they lie to themselves and other people and try to kind of mask the guy's shortcomings. Why do we continue to do this time and time again?
That is such a great question. And it's such a commonality, particularly amongst women, because we don't see things as they are. We see them how we want them to be. And regardless of all of the signs and all of the reasons why we shouldn't do things, we sometimes think that we can be somebody's mother. We think that our love is enough to change them. And people are who they are. If you don't like what you see on the first date, you're definitely not going to like it on the 20th date.
So you don't think that you should just keep going? Like, if you don't feel the vibe first date? Because back in the day, I used to always get mad at myself because I felt like I rode people off too fast.
Same. I felt like I didn't give
people a fair chance.
Well, now see, that's a good point, because I'm not saying you write people off. What I am saying is if you see red flags on the first date, that is when you should move on, because people are who they are. Now, I also think that women are guilty of falling in love too quickly. We meet and we just want to fall in love and we just want to start looking for rings and we want to start playing house. And it's like, hold on, you got to ease up into this love thing.
It is, and it's also a thing of when you get into these bad, this one over here, when you get into these bad relationships, I know my excuses were I'm working on myself through this problem that, you know, I'm having in this relationship. It's like a cyclical pattern, like maybe I can fix this pattern through this person, right? And that's also warped thinking, I guess.
Huge mistake. And here's the thing, is you cannot be fully and completely everything that your partner needs them to be if you can't be those things for yourself first. And complete with yourself and by yourself before you decide you want to bring somebody into your life, because otherwise it's a recipe for a disaster for both of you.
I can't wait to be crazy in a relationship.
Diane, we love having you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much.
All right. We will see you soon. You guys, Diane's book, Going the Distance for Love, is out now. If you want to check it out, pull out your phone and scan the QR code at the bottom of your screen. It'll take you to EL9 for more information.
Going the distance, roll up.
Go the distance, roll up. Go the 2 hours.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's what she meant.
I'm all about a drive-by. I've done that many times with my friends.
Security.
Okay, after the break, Bianca Chopra talks to us about marriage and motherhood, plus why Neil Patrick Harris thinks it's okay for a straight actor to play a gay role. We have a lot to discuss about this. Don't go anywhere.
You know that moment when you realize you're the crazy one in the relationship?
I'm never crazy. No, I'm not the crazy.
It's normal. It's normal.
We are demonstrating how to successfully sit in the passenger seat of a drive-by on your boyfriend.
Roll up.
Now,
I'm driving.
If you made it to the Excel level, you can video the evidence.
That's right.
So you can go ahead and review it for 2 weeks.
So you've got the driver, and then now I've somehow played music on my phone. Damn it. But see, and you can't let noise happen. You got to keep the radio real low.
Real low.
And you got to keep the lights off, and you just got to, you know, put the phone outside the camera. You get the person in the back and your head down. You got this, guys.
I need to go with her next time. She knows all the
her
rules.
Her phone's always tripping. Don't She'll get you caught. Don't rob shit with her.
Don't do anything. I miss, can you start dating like somebody that I could spy on, please? I miss doing drive-bys.
I'm a great driver.
I'm a great, too.
We're good.
I'm really good at hiding.
You have too many car seats, though. It might impede what we're trying to do here.
Nobody suspects the family car, though. All right, we got to move on. All right, it's been 2 years since Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra said I do, and now they're thinking about baby Joe Bros. Victor Cruz asked Priyanka about starting a family and her latest project.
You said Priyanka.
And I heard through the grapevine that you wanted a cricket team of kids with Nick.
A family is a big part of my life. It's always been part of my dreams, and I'll take what I get, you know, leave it up to the God Almighty.
For now, Priyanka is focused on her current labor of love.
The white tiger.
That's what I call myself these days.
Congratulations to both of you, actually. People are absolutely loving this movie. Yeah, people love it, exactly. So you not only had a role in it, but you serve as an EP on this film as well. What attracted you to this project?
I'd read this book, Victor, in 2008 when it came out, and it was so provocative and it moved me and it made me uncomfortable because it, you know, talks about this class disparity which exists all over the world, and you know, it's extremely topical, unfortunately.
Why would you kick him? Why would you hit him like that?
You know, my quest has been to bring South Asian stories to the fore in Hollywood and to have that kind of representation.
Newcomer Adarsh Gaurav stars alongside Priyanka in the Rags to Riches story, available on Netflix.
Now, Adarsh, Bahram does some pretty shady things to get ahead in life.
They had plans. I had plans too.
What are some shady things that you might have done to get ahead or any shady things you've done in life? Whether they're little white lies or something grand.
Tell us your shade.
You said it. I was a compulsive liar as a kid. I think part of what drew me to the movies was my enthusiasm for lying.
I was the same way as a kid. It was like, you gotta spice little childhood stories up.
I know, right?
Now, yeah. How about you? Anything shady as a kid or when you were older?
Do I look like I was ever shady? What?
You're absolutely right.
That's really cute. My enthusiasm for lying as a kid. I love that.
I love that one.
Have you guys ever done anything shady to get ahead?
Every morning at 11, 10 Central, only on Daily Pop.
True that.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm pretty okay. Nothing too shady.
Okay, write that on me online. Let's see the comments.
I believe in karma. Coming up, you guys, the inauguration's breakout star, Amanda Gorman. She gets a special surprise. We're going to tell you all about it next.
She killed it.
She killed that.
It was a special week, so let's wrap it up with some special feel-good Friday stories. The inauguration was all about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, but the breakout star was definitely Amanda Gorman. At 22, she is the youngest inaugural poet in America's history. Amanda is having a huge week. Her books shot to the top of the Amazon bestseller list, and yesterday, Lin-Manuel Miranda surprised her on Good Morning America.
Congrats again on yesterday. The right words in the right order can change the world, and you proved that yesterday with your brilliant piece. I'm so incredibly proud of you, and I can't wait to see what you write next. Keep changing the world.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty big.
So big. And she is a superstar. I am just so, like, as he said, I can't wait to see what she does. I heard in an interview her saying that she wants to be the next president. She wants to be a president one day. So I really, you know, I just think, I see big things for her, for sure.
I agree.
Now, Amanda has been getting so much love on social. She reposted this adorable Cheetah Girls meme. That's so cute.
Wait, who's the Raven Simone? Oh, Michelle Obama.
Okay, I got Michelle. Okay. Girl. I got Michelle.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah.
That is
so
amazing.
I
it's so
that
funny.
One.
I feel like there wasn't one low point in the inauguration. And normally somebody has to point out something. But I feel like everything went smoothly. Everybody was there. The message was right. And I just feel like it's the best way to start over in the new America.
Yeah, I agree.
Even Bernie made everybody smile with his little mittens.
The Bernie of it all.
The Bernie.
Made me so happy. Bernie made me so happy. That whole inauguration, but Bernie was the breakout fashionista of the time.
The breakout fashionista, 100%. Definitely.
Bernie was like, y'all acting like this country ain't on fire. We got work to do, everybody.
All right, real quick, I want to get into this. It's really sweet. A tearjerker alert, you guys. A Canadian dad posted this note on Twitter. His 10-year-old son got it from the new kid at school after they invited him to sit with their friends during lunch. The note says, sitting with them felt better than anything. Thank you so much. I would like to ask you if I can start joining you guys outside.
Oh, what a rainbow.
I mean, so I'm going to cry.
I feel bad because I'm like, did you sit by me because I had Oreos? Or were you really trying to be cool with me?
Raven, thank you for coming today.
I love you guys.
We love having you here. Please
please come back soon. We have so many big stars next week. Zendaya, Wendy Williams, Neil Patrick Harris, and more. Have a good weekend. See you on Monday. Bye.
Yes. I know that kid had Oreos.
Yeah, right?
Oh, for sure. Double stuff.